Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club.
And with that, welcome to the Dueling Club, learning one spell at a time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Sorry we've been missing. It's kind of all our work's fault. Anyway, this is the Dueling Club. This is Jen.
And I'm Al.
And basically, we've been gone for a while because work has... Okay, so we work for a company that does work with a very large software and hardware... We work for a company that works for Microsoft.
There you go. Works with and for Microsoft.
Yes. And Microsoft's year runs July 1st to January 30th in their quarters. And this is the third most difficult quarter. It's weird. December is just hard. So December gets more difficult. Plus, it's our company's actual year end.
So we have to get as much business booked as possible.
And we deal with orders. Yeah. Globally. So woohoo, we're busy.
Yeah, we're pretty busy. Even though I've only learned literally like 30% maybe of what we do, I'm still busy as well for the most part.
And I know pretty much everything somebody at my level should know.
Yeah.
And I train people.
Yes.
So I'm ridiculously busy.
Yeah.
At all times. So this is why we are where we are right now. I'm actually...
Is that accurate, 30%?
I sent you a list. It's more like 20%.
True.
But I broke down the orders because they get worse.
But hey.
In difficulty.
I do it well, though.
You do. I am not complaining about you.
Yep.
Notice how I said that way.
Yes.
That'll
be a mystery, though, because if people from work hear anything, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
So, before we do anything major, I'm going to do the social media thing.
Yeah.
Like, follow, subscribe. We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook group. We're on Instagram and Twitter. I've been a little slacking on all of those because of the aforementioned work schedule. You can find us, Dueling Club Podcast, the Dueling Club Podcast. We are there. However you want to search for us, we're there. And listen to us on any podcasting site that you would like to. We are hosted on Podbean, so big up to Podbean. But you can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, whatever. We're there. CastBox, everywhere. Like, follow, subscribe, and comment. I mean, we will respond to your comments. We had somebody comment on our page that we help get her through her day at work, and I commented within minutes.
Yep.
Because I appreciate every single one of you. So does Al. But Al has been removed from Facebook I don't know how many times for no apparent reason.
Yeah, apparently I'm ineligible because I'm not a person, which is fine.
I promise you he's a person. I was there in the hospital the day he was born.
Lies.
I can attest to his person.
Zuckerberg does not believe you.
Apparently not. So, instead of doing what's new with us, today I'd like to talk about JK's tweet.
Oh, I heard she was canceled.
So, here's what happened. There is this person in the UK who worked, and I say that correctly because she was fired, worked for a think tank, privately owned company.
Yes.
And she stated very much so adamant views of biology, where she's like, sex is biology, and you can't change that. Boom.
So she hit us with a whatchacallit?
Shapiro? Yes. Okay. She hit us with that, and she got fired.
Okay.
Because they said that her remarks, and I'm putting her remarks lightly, because she was kind of forceful about it and really rude.
Yes.
And the high courts in the UK said, no, you weren't discriminated against. Your speech is not protected. You work for a private company. You are expressing views that are against the company's philosophy. Hence, they fired you. Bye-bye now.
Okay.
And JK tweeted support for this woman. But the actual tweet, if I can find it...
The actual tweet wasn't necessarily defending her remarks. It was defending her...
It was defending her.
Yeah, having lost her job. So I understand why people would want to withdraw their support from her. But she didn't defend the woman's remarks.
Yeah, so the tweet was... If I can find it, because I literally just... Dress however you please, call yourself whatever you like, sleep with any consenting adult who'll have you, live your best life in peace and security, but force women out of their jobs for stating that sex is real? Hashtag I stand with Maya, hashtag this is not a drill. So, what she's... There's a couple of things in play here. The first thing is, J.K. Rowling, I can never say her name right.
It's Rowling.
Rowling. She's a person. Just like, we love her for creating the Harry Potter universe. We love her for writing these books. We consider her, obviously, gospel, truth, verse, everything for Harry Potter.
Besides Cursed Child.
Besides Cursed. Well, because she didn't write that, so we're good.
She was part of the process, though.
But we're going to ignore that.
Okay.
For you. I think that because she said it's canon, but whatever.
Well, that's what I like about the wiki, that it's an alternate timeline. So yes. That I'm thumbs up for.
So, although we consider her, you know, Harry Potter goddess, which she is.
Yes.
She is a person just like everybody else who's allowed to have an opinion.
The thing is that she didn't support the remark. She didn't make an inflammatory remark herself. She defended the fact that a woman had her opinion and lost her job for it.
Yes.
Which is exactly what the tweet says. So I don't think that she should...
Be canceled
or receiving that much flack. Because, again, she's not defending the remark. Because the remark, as you've said, and I'm not going to like sugarcoat it, is transphobic, right?
Yes.
So that's not okay. And
yes.
I'm okay with the fact that the woman lost her job.
Yes.
But I also am okay with the fact that Rowling isn't okay with it.
Because someone she's a else, human being. She's
allowed to have her opinion. And again, her stance is not with the remark, it's with the person. And you can say there's no difference, but there is a difference.
There is. But I want to go further into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if she wanted to show support for the person, she should have said... Man, it really sucks that Maya, whatever her last name is, I don't know, lost her job. It doesn't make sense to me that there are perfectly capable people and they lose their jobs. However, it is private, blah, blah, blah. She could have just stopped there. But she brought in the other stuff, which hurts people. Let's be real.
But the thing is that she didn't say anything rude.
She said, do what you want.
It was actually, like, really sweet, which is contradictory to what the person said.
Yes. That's what I think people are having a problem with, is that she's defending somebody who has been very adamantly against the trans community.
And she's defending the person in terms of workplace,
mm-hmm.
but not their comment, because what she said is contradictory to what the person said.
But she
said.
Did technically say it, because she said sex is real. And I'm going to throw it out there because boyfriend and I had this conversation last night. Biology is very weird. And although we would like to say that genetically female is 2X chromosomes and genetically male is an X and a Y, there more often than not, there are many genetic variations, mutations, deletions, inclusions that make it so that it's not just an X and an X or an X and a Y. There are people who are born with 3 X's. There are people who are born with 2 X's and a Y. 3 X's and are considered female. There are people born with 2 X's and a Y, and they can be male or female. There are people born with only 1 X. Mm-hmm. Who are female. There are people born with an X and a Y, and the Y doesn't code for anything, so they are presumably female. There are people who are born with two Ys and an X, and they're male. There are people who have one part of the Y transcribe onto the X, and one part of the X transcribe onto the Y, and they're genetically, it looks genetically male, but they express as female. Mm-hmm. Biology is weird. Yeah. So you can't say, point blank, genetics says this, because genetics can be wrong. We've simplified it as human beings because it helps to be able to classify things easily. Well, but there's so much genetic variation that you can't say that genetics say this.
Then her mistake is having said that.
Yes.
Sex is real. Mm-hmm. The rest of the tweet was fine.
Yes.
But that line struck a chord in a bad way.
Yes.
With the, I'm not doing the whole LGBT.
The whole so community.
Long. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, no, I feel like she could have done it better, but I don't think she was trying to be
exclusive.
Phobic.
Yeah. I don't think
so. In some way. So I don't, I'm not going to attack her. I'm not going to cancel her. I think that she needs to better think out her tweets.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Alvaro grabbed something, sorry.
This was like a foam roll.
Yeah. He grabbed what looked like a foam roll, and he pressed it against the table, and it lit up. Anyway.
that actually shocked me.
Yeah. And and coincidentally enough, it was rainbow colored.
Yes. Yes. It was.
So, the next thing I want to say is, as much as we're upset with her right now for having made the comment that she made and for aligning herself with someone who has made bigoted comments and discriminatory comments and exclusivary comments.
They're definitely not as bad as other people have said.
Yes. And she created a world where the generation of people who grew up reading it are more empathetic. They're more prone to be activists for social cause. They're more understanding and they're more loving. Studies show this. Oh, no, it's cool. It's just chilling right there. That's what I did earlier. That's why I moved it.
Okay.
So we'll explain in a second. We have grown to be better people simply because Harry Potter exists and we read the stories.
Yep.
We internalize them. We wish that she had internalized them a little bit more. Or that she thought about things before she tweeted the way that she tweeted.
So I think that she made a very progressive story for the time. Mm-hmm. Like late 90s. You know, being chill, like thinking that racism is bad. Ah,
I thought I muted everything.
Apparently not. You know, racism is bad, kind of thing. Which
it is.
Yes. Like, but she can have her view, and it be wrong, and that's mm-hmm. okay. Your view can be wrong as long as you don't use it to attack people, and she's not attacking people. She's defending someone. So that's why it's less of a jab, mm-hmm. but still incorrect. Mm-hmm. And that's as far as it's going to go for me.
So we're not excusing her?
Nope.
We're not excusing her comment?
Nope.
We think that this should be an opportunity for her to learn.
And grow.
Yeah. The way that she's helped all of us learn and grow.
Yes.
And with that, I'm just going to say, we at the Dueling Club podcast,
yes,
are allies.
Yes.
We support all of you.
Yes.
No matter where you land.
Yep.
No matter who you love. As long as everything is between two or more consenting adults, we're good.
Yep. Agreed.
Moving on.
Yes. Live your best life.
Live your best life. Be happy.
Why'd you make a voice?
Be happy, be healthy, be safe. Be consensual. Done. Anyway.
So, recap.
Oh, yes.
Gryffindor versus Ravenclaw, Quidditch game. That was the last one.
Are you sure? Oh, yeah, sorry. Because I've been listening to the book over and over again, so in my head I have the next Quidditch match in my head.
Yes. They play. Harry is very fast on the firebolt.
Why did you do a thing?
Listen. Okay. That's the mood of the day.
Okay. Where about that today?
Dementors, quote unquote, come onto the field. Harry casts a Patronus, catches a snitch, find out it's Malfoy and cronies plus Quidditch captain. They get in trouble.
I think that the Quidditch captain shouldn't be allowed to play in the next game if he's willing to participate in that kind of a mean thing.
Yeah. The thing is that they would have been found out at some point. Like, they're not Ravenclaw. Like,
yeah.
They would have been found out. 100%. So
they just didn't know that Harry had been a Dementor proofing himself.
Either way, do they really think that the appearance of a Dementor with no actual effect is going to have the same effect as a real one on Harry? Like, are they really that stupid? They have to be.
Well, yes, but I think that they figured that he would just be so scared that he'd mess up.
But it would be a momentary thing. They'd have to be very precise in their timing and be like, he sees a snitch! Kind of thing. Like, otherwise...
Which is what they were doing. Because he was going towards the snitch.
I don't know. I feel like they're stupid.
I agree. But not that. I think that they didn't think it out.
Yeah. So they won the Quidditch Cup. Harry got the snitch. They won the Quidditch Cup.
They won that Quidditch match.
Well, no.
Because they still have to play against Slytherin.
What? I feel like this is wrong. Okay, it doesn't matter.
They haven't played against Slytherin yet.
Now they have the opportunity. I remember Wood crying and being like, we won.
Yes, because that means that they got closer to being able to possibly have a chance to win the Quidditch Cup.
Okay.
Because they still have to play against the Slytherins.
Okay.
Or is this the last one?
My brain says that they're done. I'm going back really quick to look at this.
I am going back really quickly too. Winning the game. There's one more.
But why would they have a crazy celebration in the common room if it was just a normal match?
Because they were... Hold on. They still have one more. One more game. Because they have the ability, because they're not completely out of it. That's what it's all about. Because they thought that they were going to be completely out of the game in, like, the running.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. 100% right. Okay.
Dang. I know I've been reading a lot, but I knew this one at least.
Because the next chapter is a Quidditch final. Anyway, yes, they won the match, which entitles them to the Quidditch final.
Yes.
Which has Wood in hysterics, everyone else losing it as well.
Yeah, and because they know that as long as they win the next one, and this is something that they say in the next chapter too, as long as they win the next one with more than a 50-point lead, they win the cup.
Yes. Which is fairly easy for the rules of Quidditch.
Well, considering that they're playing, against Slytherin, I would say no.
I mean...
Because remember, the Slytherins aren't really known so far. For
fair play?
For, yes.
The Slytherin Quidditch team is not known for fair play during this time period.
No, they're not.
Okay, so that happened.
They party.
Yes. McGonagall cancels the party at around, what was it?
One, two.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And then Harry wakes up to Ron screaming, and then someone leaving the dorm. Ron says that it was Sirius Black holding a knife above him. And then it's confirmed by McGonagall and Cadogan.
Sir Cadogan!
Yes, and Neville, unfortunately.
Oh, poor Neville.
So, yes, now...
So now we are on...
Did we say that we were...
Chapter 14, Snape's Grudge.
Yes.
It's season 3, episode 15.
Yes. Okay. So, a sleepless night in Gryffindor Tower ensues. At dawn, Professor McGonagall reports that Sirius Black has escaped.
They checked everything thoroughly like they did last time.
Multiple times, but they just can't find him.
Yeah.
Sir Cadogan is sacked, and the Fat Lady returns as the guard to the Gryffindor Tower.
Although she demands extra protection in the form of a squad of security trolls. Which makes sense, because she was the one who was personally attacked by Sirius Black when she wouldn't let him in. And it makes sense that Sir Cadogan got sacked, because, hello, if you've been told, don't let this person in, and he happens to have the passwords, your job is still not to let this person in.
Yes. So, every opening in the castle, including ones as small as, like, mouse holes, are boarded up, except, Harry notices, the One-Eyed Witch's tunnel into Hogsmeade.
So,
well, to Honeydukes specifically, yes. But into Hogsmeade.
I think it's funny that Filch goes through the trouble of boarding up mouse holes.
I mean, no one knows how Sirius is getting in and out of the castle, so everything has to be covered.
True.
What if he can turn into a mouse? What if, what if he can turn himself into the size of a mouse? What if he can, I don't know.
Reduce reductio?
I don't know. What, anything. Anything.
It's a reducing charm. Oh. It's not supposed to be used.
Reducing charm is reducto.
Reducto. But it does it. It's not supposed to be used on people, but it can be.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But we don't know. No one knows. That's the issue. So Harry decides. Harry and Ron both decide not to tell. Well, Harry mentions Ron, and they both decide not to tell anyone about it because they figure that the mentors are guarding Hogsmeade. There's absolutely no way that Sirius can get into Honeydukes without being caught.
And if they do report it, they'd be asked, how do you know about this?
Yes.
And they're, let's be real, they're, what, 13? They're not the best at coming up with excuses right now.
Yes.
So eventually somebody would find out about the Marauder's Map.
Yes. So Ron basks in the unaccustomed attention he receives over Black's break-in.
He ends up basically telling the story over and over and over again that entire
week. Because he's like a mini celebrity. Finally the focus is on him and not Harry. For a short while.
Well, and it's got to be really nice, because even without having been Harry Potter's best friend, like, as a Weasley, the focus has never been on him. It's always been on Bill and Charlie. And then when Bill and Charlie left, Percy, because he's the head boy now.
And even the twins, because they're jokesters and goofy and silly.
And Ginny, because she's the girl.
Yep.
So he's getting all this attention right now.
And he loves it.
Mm-hmm.
But after having told it, you know, for the billionth time, he wonders why, when Black realized that it wasn't Harry, why he didn't just silence Ron forever, which is, like, a really nice way to say, like, why didn't he kill me?
Yeah. And move to the next bed.
Yep. Why did he run? And Harry doesn't understand either.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. If he was willing to kill 12 muggles and a wizard in plain sight, why wouldn't he just kill an underage wizard?
Yeah. And keep him from screaming, and then...
And take his wand. Yeah. Because we don't know if he has a wand or not, because he escaped from prison.
True. Yeah, no, it just silenced the entire dormitory, leaving just Harry, and then doing whatever he wants, and that's it.
Yeah.
Apparently, he can easily get in and out of the castle, so even if Dumbledore puts the security at 4,000%, nothing has worked so far, so...
No.
So, Neville suffers the worst from the fallout.
Oh, he gets... So, it makes sense that he gets banned. So, there has to be some form of punishment for carelessness. That's literally what it was.
Yeah, but the thing is like, it wasn't, like, malicious or anything. It was literally just...
Yeah.
He's a forgetful kind of person, and it's unfortunate that there's a murderer on the loose who can get in and out of the castle.
Oh, it's so unfortunate.
Apparently.
But I think that McGonagall, I love her, but she's very protective of her students.
Especially
And she wants Harry. To teach him a lesson, and she wants to keep Harry safe. And the fact that she hasn't been able to keep Harry safe thus far must really be bothering her.
Yeah.
So she tends to go overboard when she feels like people are not paying attention. And I think this is an example of that. Because she bans Neville from future Hogsmeade visits. She gives him detention. And he is forbidden to have any of the passwords from now on. He literally has to wait outside for somebody to let him in. Which is kind of scary to him because the trolls glare at him.
Yes.
The entire time.
Menacingly.
Yes.
But, and then he also receives a howler from his grandmother.
Oh.
Which... You know,
that's none not, too happy, none too good. That's not
the thing we want.
I wonder what the howler said.
Oh, God. It's one thing about being irresponsible and being
a disgrace. I hope she didn't call him a disappointment.
And she called him a disgrace, 100%. She said it before.
Oh, yeah. You're disgracing the family name and your parents would be so ashamed.
That,
he's 13.
My thing is saying that, like... Obviously, again, people who are listening to this podcast have probably read this series multiple times and listening to it to maybe find new insight or kind of relive the books.
Unless you're new to the series.
Unless you're new, which I think is a slight possibility.
It is. There's always new people coming to it. Our boss read the entire series last year for the first time.
No, I get that. But I'm just saying that for the most part, it's going to be experienced readers, but we still want to do kind of spoiler-free. But if you know Neville's history and his current situation, you'll understand why, for me, calling him a disgrace and stuff like that...
That's too much.
It's too much. It is very, very mean.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, we find out that his grandmother is strict, but not a mean person. So, like, I honestly think that this doesn't actually fit who she is.
No. I think that she's just...
I think they wrote her out to be much meaner than she actually is. When we meet her.
Yeah.
Because we do get to meet her in the series, obviously. Yes.
I think part of it is also, if you think about it, maybe she's overreacting because she put she put himself into harm's way because of his carelessness. And she's already lost Neville's parents. In a way.
It was so her,
if she had her lost son, her,
right? Is his dad. Okay.
What if he even looks like his dad? What if she thinks about the fact that something he did could have had him harmed? Because he could have. He was sleeping in the same dormitory as where it happened.
Yep.
Maybe that's where this rage is coming from.
True. No. Okay. Like that, it makes a little more sense.
It's not necessarily that she means it. It's that she was just angry and scared.
Yeah.
And the fact that Sirius Black is still out there makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Because what if next time he comes in and he does the same thing to these young wizards that he did to the Muggles?
Yep. So, shortly thereafter, Hagrid invites Ron and Harry to tea.
Yeah, at the end of the week.
Yep. When they see Hagrid's best suit hanging up, they suddenly remember that Buckbeak's hearing is that Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And they had forgotten their promise to help him come up with a case in defense for Buckbeak.
Well, they're, again, and I hate to keep saying it, their age, but they're 13 years old.
And
Harry got a new broom that he was actually been able to fly. Harry's been working on learning the Dementor, the anti-Dementor stuff and the Patronus charm to try to keep himself safe because he can't fall out of the sky 50 more feet. What if Dumbledore isn't there to slow down the fall?
Yeah.
And Ron is dealing with having lost Scabbers.
Yeah.
So they're, yes, it's a little selfish, but they're 13 years old. They're allowed to be a little bit selfish at that point.
They think that Hagrid has invited them there to not necessarily, I don't know, but they end up apologizing that they haven't helped with the case study whatsoever. And Hagrid is like, that's not why I brought you down.
Like, here. I get it. It's fine.
Yeah. I see Harry practice every night for Quidditch. Like, I get that you guys are busy. Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is you guys not talking to Hermione. Because she's come down here, and even though she has, like, you know, double the workload of you guys, yeah. and has nary a minute to herself, so, she's found time.
So, he actually says, she's in a right state. That's what. She's been coming down to visit me a lot since Christmas. Been feeling lonely. First, you weren't talking to her because of the fireball. Now you're not talking to her because her cat ate Scabbers, Ron interjected angrily. Because her cat acted like all cats do, Hagrid continued doggedly. She's cried a fair few times, you know, going through a rough time at the moment, biting off more than she can chew, if you ask me, all the work she's trying to do. Still found time to help me with Buckbeak's case, mind. She's found some really good stuff for me. Reckon he'll stand a good chance now. And Harry apologizes, and he's like, I'm not blaming you. God knows you've got enough to handle on with. I've seen you practicing Quidditch, like you said, Al. Mm-hmm. Every hour of the day and night. But I gotta tell you, I thought you two valued your friend more than broomsticks or rats. That's all.
Which, like, damn.
Yep. And he says, really upset she was when Black nearly stabbed you, Ron. She got her heart in the right place, Hermione has. And you two not talking to her? It's like, that's right, Hagrid. You tell him. Yes. You be that older brother figure, father figure, whatever. And let them know, I get it, you're teenagers. Get your heads out of your behinds and start acting like the friends you're supposed to be.
Yep. So chastised very, very aptly by Hagrid, yes. They return to the castle. When they return, they find out that a Hogsmeade visit is scheduled for that weekend. And Harry plans to sneak out wearing his invisibility cloak.
So there's actually a whole scene mm-hmm. where they're talking about it. Him and Ron are talking about it.
Yep.
And Hermione is behind them at one of the tables studying. And she says, if you go... Hold on. Harry, if you go into Hogsmeade again, I'll tell Professor McGonagall about that map.
Yep.
She's not helping her case.
No.
But she says it because she's genuinely scared for him.
Yep.
That map will tell anyone who sees it, who knows how to work it, where he is. And it stops the professors from being able to keep him safe.
Thoroughly safeguard the castle.
Yeah. And thoroughly safeguard Harry. Yeah. Because they don't even know that he's left. And Ron does what Ron always does. He's like, can you hear someone talking, Harry?
Yeah.
And she says, Ron, how can you let him go with you after what Sirius Black nearly did to you? I mean it. I'll tell. And Ron is like, so now you're trying to get Harry expelled? Haven't you done enough damage this year?
I love how you put your drink down and Lou looked up with your hand, little hand flick, like, listen, you little.
So, because I was literally about to throw my coffee somewhere. I'm not allowing this to go by because of age.
This is one of the times where Ron is a very awful friend. Great friend to Harry.
Terrible friend to Hermione.
Terrible. And this is not going to be something that goes away. Mm-hmm. He is very protective of his friends, and he doesn't see Hermione as a friend right now.
Nope.
He sees Hermione as someone who is, you know, trying to get in the way of him and his best friend having a good time.
Someone who, basically, instead of trying to console him when his pet died, being the source of his pet dying.
And not being remorseful at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that, I think, is Hermione's mistake.
Yeah.
Even though it was unintentional, his suffering still came about because of her, in part. It's her animal.
Yes.
And she didn't apologize.
No, she didn't.
So that's, I think, where Ron has this anger because there's sadness for his pet dying.
And anger that one of his friends doesn't seem to care.
At all.
Yeah.
So...
You and I have talked about this in regards to other things. But sometimes all you need is somebody to say, I'm sorry. Or I was wrong. And not it, even I'm sorry. Just, I was wrong.
And it lets that tension, that intensity you feel in your heart, just kind of dissipate. And it's like, you know what? Okay.
Yeah. And when people do the opposite, when people try to negate it, when people try to overlook it, when people try to deflect it.
Or minimize it.
Or minimize it. It just... For me,
it's like
it's like gas. Adding kindling to the fire.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, that's the route you're going to take. All right, I'm holding on to it.
Yep. Which is also silly, but that's just how people work.
Yeah. And you realize that it's silly, but then something else, like eventually you are able to let it go, but then something else happens and it comes right back up.
Yep.
Which is what happened here, because they were willing to give her a chance. They thought about it.
Yeah. They and talked then, about it too.
Yeah, they talked about it. And then Hermione came in with her, if you go, I'll tell.
Oh my God, he's such a good swimmer.
I know. So what happened earlier when Al was like, I'm just checking. And oh my God, he's such a good swimmer. Our nephew has a class pet.
Mm-hmm.
And every weekend they take... Well,
it's on vacations, I think.
I think they do it on weekends too.
It could be.
On weekends and on vacations and stuff, one of the kids has to take the class pet home, basically so that it doesn't bite the dust while everyone's gone.
Yes. And I think it's a betta fish?
Yes. I think it's a female, because I think the females are red and the males are blue.
Could be. So, earlier, when I was wondering if she was okay, was I was poking the little glass tanky thingy. And because she was, like, floating near the top, but then she swam. And Jen confirmed that she was okay.
Oh, males.
Oh, okay.
The reds are males?
Either way, the lovely fish.
Oh, yes. That's a male.
Okay. He was just chilling. He's fine. And then just now, he swam towards the bottom and then just, like, is hovering near the middle right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He good swimmer. Anyway.
Yes.
So, Neville and Snape nearly prevent him from reaching the One-Eyed Witch's Passage, but he evades them after a few encounters and meets Ron and
Hogsmeade. Yeah, Neville's like, I can't go either. Let's go study. I'm not going to the library. I'm going back to
To do an essay.
To do an essay. Oh, that's great. I need to do the same essay. Oh, wait, I finished mine. Oh, good. You can help me.
Neville, go away. Okay. Like, not really, but that's kind of what it was. Well,
before Neville starts going away, that's when Professor Snape
is wondering
calling him the professor.
Yeah.
That's when Snape, because I don't think that you should be allowed to be called that if you're actively trying to make children feel bad. Okay. So Professor Snape is like, funny how you always seem to be meeting up in places. And he's like, we didn't meet up here. We just met here. Like,
yeah. It's actually one of those situations where wording is, like, awkward. Mm-hmm. And I like it because it's a very real thing that happens. It's like, we're not meeting up here. We just met here.
Yeah. So.
He tells them that they should go back to the tower and, you know, whatever.
He waits, he uses the map, he's able to go to Hogsmeade and meet up with Ron. And Ron's like, what took you so long? And he's like, Snape. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they visit the post office and Zonko's together, which is a joke shop. Then they head towards the Shrieking Shack, which is, like, apparently the most haunted house in all of friggin' Britain, whatever.
The UK.
The UK.
Yes.
The most haunted building in Britain. Anyway. Okay.
Whatever.
Ron is approached by Draco, Crabbe, and Goyle. They start insulting Ron. And Harry,
who is still under his invisibility cloak.
Yeah, starts pelting them with snowballs, right?
No, it's mud.
It's mud.
In the movie, it's the...
During the guerrilla warfare, Harry's head is revealed.
Just for a split second.
Yes. Draco obviously sees it, panics and runs off. And Harry's like, oh my god, he's on his way back to the castle. I have to beat him there.
Yeah.
So Harry, you know, gets the cloak back on, runs to Honeydukes, takes a passage back, scrambles out of the witch, leaving his cloak behind. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, he lands in the passage and he hears footsteps and it's Snape.
And he manages to mischief managed the Marauder's map right before Snape shows up. And he puts everything back in his pocket.
Yep.
So Snape is there and he's like, hey, so funny thing, Draco just told me that he saw your head in Hogsmeade. And your head
is not allowed
in Hogsmeade.
Neither is any of you allowed in Hogsmeade.
So if your head is in Hogsmeade, that means that all this work that we're doing to try to protect you, you think you know better.
So he drags Harry down to his office, which is in the dungeons. Mm-hmm. And we find out that although James, mm-hmm. Harry's father, saved his life once, which he doesn't actually bring it up this way.
No.
But it was because him and his friends played an awful joke on him, which would have cost him his life.
Yeah. And he says that James only warned him at the last minute to protect himself, because mm-hmm. he didn't want to get in trouble if something happened to Snape.
So Snape orders Harry to turn on his pockets, mm-hmm. And finds a Marauder's map that is blank right now.
Yes. He finds a bunch of stuff, a bunch of sweets, and a bunch of, like, mm-hmm. Dung bombs and things like that.
His purchase from Zonko, which Harry defends being, oh no, you know, Ron got it for me last time he went to Hogsmeade. And Snape is like, oh, you've kept it on your person this entire time. How sentimental.
Yeah. So I'm looking for the part in the book. Keep going.
Yes. So Snape basically he finds the paper and is like, oh, this is an old bit of, what's this? And Harry's like, it's just an old bit of parchment. And Snape is like, oh, it does look very old. How about I just dispose of it? And he like motions to throw it into the fire and Harry like stops him. So
this is when he's like, my dad didn't strut and neither do I. Yes. That's one of my favorite things. Uh-huh.
Snape starts to try and look into the map using spells and
So he says, let me see. Reveal your secret, he said, touching the wand to the parchment, and nothing happened. Show yourself, tapping the map a little bit more sharply. Professor Severus Snape, master of this school, commands you to yield the information you conceal. And then, I had to.
I want to read it.
Go ahead.
But it ain't joining.
It's on page 206. Okay, do you want me to just hand you my computer?
No, you can read it.
Okay. No, I wait. You're so sad. Page 206. And I'll just read, as though an invisible hand were writing upon it, words appeared on the smooth surface of the map.
Mr. Mooney presents his compliments to Professor Snape and begs him to keep his abnormally large nose out of other people's business. Mr. Prongs agrees with Mr. Mooney and would like to add that Professor Snape is an ugly git. Mr. Padfoot would like to register his astonishment that an idiot like that ever became a professor. Mr. Wormtail bids Professor Snape good day and advises him to wash his hair, the slime ball.
So Harry's just like, oh my god, what is happening?
I remember reading it and going, yes!
Yeah. He's like, oh my god. So that's when Snape is like, so
We'll see about this.
And mm-hmm. he goes over to the fire, seizes a fistful of glittering powder from a jar, and threw it into the flame. Lupin! I want a word! He calls into the flame.
Yeah.
So this is another instance in which we see that fireplaces aren't just fireplaces.
Well, my thing is, didn't he just use flu powder and yell into his fireplace?
So the flu powder
is green.
Is green.
Yes. But we don't get a color.
But we don't get a color here. It's just glittering powder.
Which then...
Well, no. Flu powder isn't green. Flu powder is like blue, but the flame produced is green.
Yeah, yeah. Ish.
So it's possible that this is just another thing.
Very similar. Very similar to it. Because then Lupin comes in through the fireplace spinning, which is a sign of using a flu network.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that it's... probably a powder that's very similar to flu powder.
Just for Hogwarts?
Maybe just for Hogwarts, but it has a similar effect.
Because you can't do any other magical transportation into the building.
No, you can't.
So, okay, anyway. So Lupin basically grabs it and looks at it. And Harry, it says, Harry had the impression that Lupin was doing some very quick thinking. And Snape is like, well, this parchment is plainly full of dark magic. And Lupin is like, full of dark magic? Are you serious? Do you think that this 13-year-old could have figured out how to make this? Like, it's probably, childish. It's probably from the joke shop.
Yeah, just a bit of parchment that insults whoever tries to read it.
Yeah. And he's like, really? You think a joke shop could have done this? It's more likely that it came directly from the manufacturers. That's what it says. And he's like, you mean by Mr. Wormtail and one of these people? Harry, do you know these men? And Harry's like, no. He's like, you see, Severus, it looks like a Zonko product to me.
And then as Severus is readying his next round of disbelief, Ron comes running into his office.
Making things look super less suspicious, yeah, not even a little bit.
Of course. And this is him panting while he's saying this. I'm not going to pant, sorry. I gave Harry that stuff, he choked. Bought it in Zonko's ages ago. And Lupin's like, well, look at that. That clears it all up. We must leave now.
Yes. So, they're walking away. They're going to Lupin's office. And Harry turns to Lupin when they're there. And he's like, Professor, I don't want to hear your explanations. I don't. I happen to know that this map... I'm reading it.
Yeah.
I happen to know that this map was confiscated by Mr. Filch many years ago. Yes, I know it's a map, he said as Harry and Ron looked amazed. I don't want to know how it fell into your possession. I am, however, astounded that you didn't hand it in, particularly after what happened the last time a student left information about the castle lying around. And I can't let you have it back, Harry.
Why did Snape think I got it from the manufacturers?
Because, Lupin hesitated, because these map makers would have wanted to lure you out of school. They'd think it extremely entertaining. And that's when Harry's like, did you know them? We've met, said Lupin.
Mm-hmm.
And Lupin said, don't expect me to cover up for you again, Harry. I cannot make you take Sirius Black seriously. But I would have thought that what you have heard when the Dementors draw near you would have had more of an effect on you. Your parents gave their lives to keep you alive, Harry. A poor way to repay them, gambling their sacrifice for a bag of magic tricks.
Yeah.
Ouch! I mean, he's already gotten fathered by two people now.
Yeah.
In this one chapter.
So, approaching the Gryffindor common room after having left Lupin, Harry and Ron meet Hermione, who tearfully relays Hagrid's message that the Committee for Disposal of Dangerous Creatures has ruled to execute Buckbeak.
Oh.
And that's the end.
Yep. Well, so. First, she goes there and she's crying. Like, yes. They see her. And he's like, well, what, you can't... Ron is like, what, you came to gloat? Or have you been to tell on us? Is this why all this happened? And that's when Hermione, who's crying and holding the letter, tells them that Buckbeak lost his case.
Mm-hmm. And this is where they come together.
It's like, damn, Ron. Again, you're just going to kick someone when they visibly look like they're about to cry.
I mean, she is crying.
Well, yes. Well...
She's tearing up.
Yes.
So, yeah. That's the end...
That is the end, guys. And again, we're sorry that we were away, but, you know.
I mean, we'll maybe record.
We should record.
Christmas Eve afternoon, we'll do one.
Morning-ish? Afternoon? Morning. Well, after I wrap presents, because I have to wrap
presents. After you wrap presents, are you still making the buffalo chicken egg rolls?
Possibly. possibly.
Do it, do it.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye, guys. Love you. Await our next owl.